All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and today I'm talking to you from Mowbray, California. That's a suburb outside of San Francisco, and this is the 26th day of April, 2022. Do you like to remind you that I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks? You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. We like to promote Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling, and especially if you're interested in biotech stocks, also some gold stocks and energy stocks. Those are the areas that Chen does an excellent job in. It's chenpicks.com to sign up for Chen's letter, chenpicks.com. And Michael Oliver, who's with us today, it's olivermsa.com for his excellent Momentum and Structural Analysis newsletter, which I must say I would be lost without it. I do want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. So I want to encourage you to send along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions@taylor@gmail.com. We do also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. This week's sponsors are Irving Resources, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Coro Asset Corp, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, and Reyna Gold Corp. I've titled today's show, Markets to Own with Outside Money Trumping Inside Money. John Rubino, Michael Oliver return as guests, and Nicholas Rodway of Core Asset Corp visits for the first time. After 1971, when President Nixon detached gold from the global monetary system, the U.S. dollar became the uncontested world's reserve currency. The U.S. has abused that privilege by printing excessive quantities of money to fund the expansion of its empire. In the process, America consumed more than it produced, running up huge amounts of debt, both to its own citizens and even more importantly to foreigners. In that process, some people became filthy rich, but America's capacity to produce life-sustaining goods and services declined dramatically, and America became vulnerable not only because it was no longer producing life-sustaining products, but also because it became massively indebted to foreign countries, including adversaries, most notably China. Americans seem to have forgotten the fact that financial strength is imperative for the survival of an empire. But America's adversaries have not lost sight of that fact. China has built up enormous foreign currency reserves. It holds around $1 trillion in U.S. dollars and huge amounts of other currencies, as well as America's foreign currency reserves. At the same time, America's foreign currency reserves are minuscule. I should also mention that China has amassed huge amounts of gold, which is the ultimate money, of course. So has Russia, for that matter. So Americans own other countries far more than they owe us. America is the world's largest debtor nation, but perhaps most importantly, China, Russia have built up, as I just mentioned, huge gold reserves. And in a way, and of course, China continues to produce goods that the world needs, and Russia is producing massive amounts of strategic minerals that the world needs for modern economic activities. And of course, most importantly, Russia is the largest producer of oil and gas on the planet. So that puts those two countries in a superior position economically, I would argue, to the United States. While Americans seem to be ignorant of financial vulnerability, The recent move by Russia to require payments for oil and gas in Russian rubles or gold is forcing Americans for the first time in decades to begin to understand economic reality, namely that you can't consume more than you produce forever. So when Russia said it would send natural gas to unfriendly countries only if they paid for it with Russian rubles or gold, an old concept of what money actually is now being reintroduced to Americans. Many European countries like Germany, for example, depend heavily on natural gas from Russia, not only to keep from freezing in the wintertime, but also to keep the wheels of industry turning. Russia won't any longer accept money created out of thin air, like the euro or the U.S. dollars. It is demanding it be paid for in its own currency. That is, the oil and gas it sells must be paid for in its own currency or in gold. So what Russia and other adversarial countries are doing is teaching the West a lesson, namely that real money has to be backed by something tangible, not money created out of thin air. In other words, the reality of the four dimensions of time and space are teaching us that outside money, namely commodities, must now replace inside money, namely U.S. dollars or euros created out of thin air that are backed by absolutely nothing other than, in the case of the United States, the U.S. military force. At least American policymakers are finally waking up to the fact that they have a serious inflation problem on their hands, and so they are signaling a tight monetary policy that is aimed at letting the air out of massively overvalued financial markets. But we know from all past experiences and actions that this attempt at so-called soft landing will trigger a massive decline in stock prices that will send the Fed doing a 180-degree turn towards even more ridiculous money printing. That can only be bullish for gold and commodities in general when measured against an inflated monetary supply. The tight money posture of the Fed has sent the stock market and the bond markets much lower, and gold, too, has fallen sharply in the last couple of days, which is why I'm really happy to have Michael Oliver here today for his perspective on gold. He'll be with us momentarily. John Rubino will join us during the second half of today's show, and I'm happy to welcome Nicholas Rodway, who visits for the first time to introduce Core Asset Corp. That's a company that is exploring for gold, silver, and base metals in a carbonate replacement style of mineralization in British Columbia. The targets are enormous, and the company has a very strong technical team. With management owning some 36% of the company, it's pretty obvious that the interest of that company, its management, is aligned with shareholders. I am really excited to have Nicholas join me today after our first commercial break, but right now I'm even more happy to have Michael Oliver with me to help us make some sense of these crazy markets. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jake. Good to be back.
Good to be back. The price of gold, as everyone listening to this show probably is more than aware of, it's fallen over a cliff over the past couple of days, sending gold bugs into a panic. But you seem to be largely dismissive of their fears. Can you tell us why you are not overly concerned and why, in fact, this may be a good news for gold bulls in the long run?
Okay, well, the miners and silver aside, because they're wild childs, okay? In other words, when gold goes up, they go up more. When gold goes down, they go down more. So they're all panicked. But let's look at gold. It went back to its old high of 2020. That technically is a different situation than we had at the last major top in 2011 when gold was at 1900. When it fell from that high, it never could get back to the high. And finally, it fell apart. Mm-hmm. When it made its 2015 low at 1050 area, it rallied sharply several hundred dollars and never could, with several downside assaults, get back to the low. Couldn't even get back to 1,100, much less 1,050. Mm-hmm. Repeated efforts to do that. So meaning that those two peaks or prominent extremes in the market were isolated. Okay, well, we had a peak in 2020 in the summer at a price of 2,070 on a $10 increment basis or 2,050 on a $50 increment. And then we dropped several times since then, could never get back up to the high. Mm-hmm. March the 8th got back up to the high. That differentiates this current action from the 2011 top in that price alone is saying, hey, I'm back at the high. The air up here is not so thin. Mm-hmm. Well, when it got there, they got immediate selling that took it back under 1900 within six trading days. Mm-hmm. That occurred in the second week or so of March, after that March 8th high. The low then, and that pullback, I think, was like 1883. Okay. Since then, there have been a couple rallies, a couple sell-offs. Right now, we're trading either side of 1900, and we seem to be stalled here the last 2 days. So, we're down near the low end of that range. But when we look at our momentum work, particularly the shorter-term stuff, because the long-term is not in jeopardy whatsoever. You've got to get gold down at minimum down in the 1830s before we get concerned about quarterly momentum and therefore potential further drop. But right now, we're spinning our wheels either side of 1900 three times in a row now over the last 6 weeks. So gold is holding. Now, admittedly, over the last week or so, while the S&P has plummeted from its what we call a counter-trend rally and has failed, we think it's going lower. We're bearish on the stock market, have been since January and February. Rallies are for sales, not for being enticed into. Gold has resisted that. Now, over the last several days, admittedly, it has sort of joined in, like, oh, I'm going to join the stock market. Right now, if I had to say that what is the most prominent consensus opinion in the gold market, it is this. Stock market going down, gold's going down. All that people can remember is March 2020. Mm-hmm. There's another period that lasted about 4 weeks in October of 2008, where the stock market, in a downturn, precipitously dropped 30-plus percent in a matter of about 4 weeks. That's crash dimension. Both of those fit those attributes. The March 2020 break took a handful of weeks, dropped 35%, and it was a drop in from the September high in the S&P to a low in October of 33%. So very rapid, very deep. Gold joined in both occasions. In both occasions, it basically wiped the slate clean on gold, where it stopped everybody out that's going to be stopped out, and it turned around and went vertical after that. Okay, now the question now is this. Is gold going to have a technical tantrum and join in the stock market? Our assessment is on the stock market, and we are major bears. We've been major bears since basically at the December high. Shortly after that, we turned negative, depending on the major index. We think the S&P's next drop is going to take it down about another 400 points to 3,800. That's like a 9%, 10% drop from here. NASDAQ, I think, is going to drop to its next support about 15% below here. And at both of those levels, we expect to find some trading support. Bear markets in the stock market almost never contain crashes until either the tail end, like in 2008, or never. Like the 2000 bear market never crashed to the 2002 low. It just arm wrestled its way down. We think this bear market will be a typical major bear market in stocks, probably very deep, but not a crash. If that's the case, then gold's not going to be faced with that moment in time where everybody says, sell everything, you know, including gold. It's going to be very interesting over, I would say, over the next four or five trading days. Gold is either going to participate or it's going to snub its nose at it. And you're going to suddenly find gold back up into the mid-1900s. And if you see that, I think gold is then saying, everything else can go south. I'm not going to this time. So we're open to the possibility you could get a sharp break. But I think the bears have to prove it like almost immediately, like in the next, let's say, five or six trading days. If they don't, and we find gold instead continues stable either side of 1900 and starts to firm back to the mid-1900s, I think you can circle gold as the standout. It's going to be the place to be, you know, during the coming financial market crisis. So it's going to be very interesting next week, I think.
Right. Certainly, if we have had a double top then in gold, if it could get through that, I guess it would be a lot of
breakout.
It'd be a lot of blue sky.
Oh, it's the, you ever go back to 2050 gold, you don't even have to go to the high of 2070. You're back on a point and figure chart, $50 by three increment. You know, the folks that keep those charts, they should cheer the downticks we had from 2050 back to 1900. Because what that did is it set up a double top, meaning if you return to it, it's highly likely to become a triple top breakout. If you follow the logic there. So downticks can sometimes be bullish because they set up structures. And I think that's what gold did. Now, the question now is, does this sell-off, which really ended 6 days after the March 8th high, and hasn't extended beyond that, does it gel here and ignore the stock market, or does it join in? And our
suspicion is not. Yeah. Real quickly here, because we're out of time, I just wanted, you had put out something about the possibility of a selective commodity correction. Could you take 30 seconds or a minute, perhaps, to just comment on that?
The broad commodity complex is open to a small correction. I'd say most you're going to get out of the Bloomberg Commodity Index is about a 10% pullback from where you are right now. It's already off its highs to some extent. But when you look within the commodity complex, there's a mixture of markets. They're not in harmony. They were in harmony when they turned up in October of 2020. We call for a commodity explosion at that point. But they've since divorced where you've got some, like oil looks like it could go into a violent range and not go anywhere for a while. Natural gas looks like it could go up. The grains look like they're going up. So you get a mixed picture inside the commodity complex. If some things look like they could correct, some things look like they could advance, such that the net on balance is the Bloomberg Commodity Index doesn't really break down much at all.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Instead, well, we have stability here. So.
Well, all right. We can use some of that, that's for sure. Michael, thank you so much for your time. Always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Jay.
We'll look to talk to you in a couple of weeks again. All right. Folks, we do have to go to break, but don't go away, because I will be talking to my next guest. I'm talking to Rodway, Nick Rodway, of Core Assets Management. I'll be right back with Nick, so don't go away.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQX, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at blog.voiceamerica.com. That's blog.voiceamerica.com. The Voice America Press Blog. All access, all the time.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Be sure to like the Voice America Business Channel on Facebook. You'll find out about up-to-the-minute business happenings and get ideas from entrepreneurs and business professionals. Search Voice America Business or click the like button under the player and stay ahead of the curve.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.